Hey, Warners, this is your warning that the following episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About went a bit rogue from the beginning. You know, one of those episodes where we started the show before we started the show, you know, we were recording and then things happened. So put on your big girl panties and buckle up for the ride with Rachel Pitts, Keith Walters, and yours truly, Gina Tremarco.
Welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About, the podcast that is amazing.
Keeping everything sexy.
Y'all know who we are. I'm Gina.
Rachel.
Here we are.
We are here. We are here surviving 2020. Both of us super busy and blessed in that way.
Yeah. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to just call this out for what it is. So Rachel says, do we need to take a break from doing so many episodes? Because you got a lot and I got a lot. And I was like, breathe. Let's breathe. Like I said, let's reframe this because we talk a lot about mindset. Let's reframe this. This is our time to spend some time together because we don't get to do that.
It's a meeting.
It's a meeting.
Like lunch, except for there's no food.
I did bring food to the meeting because we both are running so hard. I don't have time to eat. You'd think I would be like fucking skinny as shit.
I'll tell you how you could do that. You could eat what I had for lunch, which I was sitting there going, how did I become this person that ate for lunch 6 ounces of delicious deli meat, which is fucking delicious, and some Brussels sprouts, which I've had a very strange craving for this week.
I love Brussels sprouts.
And then rice cakes, caramel rice cakes for dessert. And I'm like, I've become the rice cakes girl. Throughout this whole process of like my fitness training, I'm like, I've become the egg white girl. Oh, I've become the I measure my food girl and the rice cake girl, which is funny because, you know, I just, not that I looked down upon the girls that would do that. I just didn't think that I would be that girl. And here I am. And loving being that girl.
Hey, it's like anything, right? It's creating a habit and a practice. And you could really become anything you want to become.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anybody, like if you follow me on Instagram at UltraFit Lifestyle, you can see my progress in the bikini contest. And anybody can do this, especially with my coaches that are teaching me the science behind it, is just, do you want to be as disciplined as it takes? Like, I'm not, anybody can do it. It's just a matter of, is that what you want?
Yeah, you have to really want it. You and I talked about this like early on, in your fitness career, when we were working together, when I was coaching you. I think I said this to you. I might have said it to Leslie, who's also, well, health related. I said, you know, people are not going to buy into what you do as a fitness expert until they're ready to make that decision.
Yep.
Sure. They need to be ready to lose weight, change the way they eat. Whatever the thing is that you say you want to do, you have to be ready. And sometimes that, like, you just wake up one day and you're like, all right, I'm ready. I'm going to do it. Then you make the intention.
There's actually a process that people go through is when it's related to fitness, because I'm back. I let my NASM personal training certification expire a few years ago when I stopped teaching fitness. So I'm right now studying again to get it back reinstated just in case. I don't know what I'm going to do. But, so I'm studying it, and there's like a whole process of like thinking about it. And then you're thinking about it. And then you take a look. Then you're like during a commercial break, like looking up a local gym to see how much it costs just to think about it some more. And then you show up to look at the gym. And like there's this whole process that they describe in your training. And it's so true.
It is so true.
Yeah.
Because it's just, again, it's a mindset.
And then there's all of you out there that are paying for a gym membership and don't ever go. So just go ahead and go. That's how gyms make money.
Well, you know, I do belong to a couple gyms.
Yeah.
And
I belong to all the gyms.
I know. I see by your Instagram. I'm like, where is she today? She's in some gym. But, you know, I just started working out with a boxer.
So yeah, how's that going?
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. I do. I can't quite describe it because it's not easy, but there's something about it that doesn't feel hard. So I can't really describe it because I don't know. It's, you know, I've been to like a gazillion boot camps and you're doing burpees and you're, you know, you're doing all the things, and maybe because he's easing me into it, re-easing me into it, but it's such a like low impact workout. But you're literally doing all these things like from a, like a punching perspective, right? Like you're doing these uppercuts, right? So every time you do an uppercut, you're squatting, and then you're doing these cross cuts, and like then you're working your obliques. And so like everything you're doing is working a different part of your body, and you don't realize it until the next day when your body is screaming at you. But in the moment, and there's, I'm at the cardio to it, I'm like, okay, champ. I'm like, I'm going to just, I just need a minute. I just need a minute. Okay. All right. I got this. I mean, I'm going under the rope, you know, under the ring rope, right? So that's a squat that I got to come down into. So it works the whole body. And by the end of it, you're like, damn, I feel good. That wasn't so hard.
Oh, it's definitely a great workout. And you get to punch shit, kick shit.
Oh my gosh, that's the best part.
Stress release.
That is the best part because my favorite part is him putting up those punching mitts.
Oh yeah.
And I got to punch him. But it's not just like punching the mitts. He's like, he's literally moving around the whole room because it's a giant room. A giant padded room, which is good for me to be in a padded room. And I'm literally like, I have to follow him. So I have to follow him forward. I have to follow him backwards. You know, he'll push back on me. He'll push sideways. Like I'm literally like dancing with him and punching at the same time. So it keeps my brain, going.
Love it.
So I had this idea that just came to me last night to talk about this because I think this will resonate with you, because it's kind of fascinating to me about strong personalities in women, right? You have a pretty strong personality. I have a pretty strong personality. We know each other well enough to like know how to ebb and flow, I think now. You know, even at the beginning of this, when you're like, I could feel your tension and your stress.
And I'm like,
I'm cool. I mean, I have so much stress right now. And I do, by the way, appreciate how much you've been checking on me with my mom and all that and all the things. And I'm like rereading Jeb Blum's book on objections and the section on emotional control is like such a good reminder of how important it is to have emotional control, because that makes for the best salesperson. But as I reread that book, I think about how objections is like such a great book for anything in life, not just sales, because he goes through all this brain stuff and rejections and objections are not rejections. But then when you hear about the science behind it, and all the different biases behind it, I'm like, this is like a book for life, not just a book for sales. Yeah, reread it with a different mind frame, because it's really, really interesting. And I was like, ooh, I want to rewrite that book. I want to write his book, he would kill me, but I want to like write a book on like when it comes to any kind of relationship, because when you reread Objections, all the points he's making about what we go through as salespeople, we go through that in any kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's so fascinating when you put a different lens on that book. But what came to me yesterday, so I have this dog trainer who comes once a week. You know, dog trainers are really training the human, not the dog. But who's working with me and the rescue dog, Tanner, who's in her crate today because she was misbehaving this morning. But we were talking about, she asked me how I'm doing, like emotionally with, you know, with my mom and stuff like that. And I said, you know, I'm in this weird place of compartmentalizing and not really wanting to talk about it. And then sure enough, somehow she got me to start talking about it, and then I started crying. I'm like, and this is the reason why I didn't want to talk about it, because I don't want to deal with emotions right now. And which has been really bizarre and surreal for me, because I am a highly emotional person, but I've literally locked down my emotions because that's what I need for survival right now. So not even the point of this topic I want to get into. So we were talking about friends and having the right tribe and people and, you know, women who can be intimidating. And she said, I don't know if Carol told you this. And Carol is a mutual friend who got us together for this dog training thing. She's like, but when Carol texted me about you needing help, I said, oh, I know Gina. She intimidates the hell out of me. And so Carol tells me this. And I was like, whoa. Like, to hear someone say that, I'm like, what in the world? Like, I've had interactions with this person. I mean, we're not besties, but we know each other from the community and from business. But it was such a, like, hit in the head of, like, how I intimidate her. But she went on in the text to say, but I love her and think she's amazing. So we talked that out last night, because I'm like, I just want to understand that, because in one respect, it felt like, gosh, how do we come off, right? You and I have these personalities that people can perceive a certain way.
Oh, yeah.
I think
I'm super intimidating. I know that. And actually, you know, I'm gonna let you finish, but the first time I realized how very intimidating I was in one of your weekend masterminds, where all the other women in the room basically told me they wouldn't want me to be their trainer because I was too intimidating. And I was like,
oh. Right?
Yeah. And now, where I stand right now, it's taken me to 44 years old, but I like being intimidating. I like it now.
Why?
Because I have worked hard to get where I am. I'm physically intimidating to people right now, but that's only because of hours and hours and hours and fucking hours of work before anybody wakes up, over months and months and years, frankly. And it's on purpose. It's not that I'm trying to be better than anybody at all. Like, when I actually talk to people at the gym, because I don't talk to people very much in the mornings, I just very much am one-track mind. But when I talk to the people, they see I'm super friendly and, hey, yeah, oh, yeah, this and that. Except for that woman this morning with my heels. I was still nice to her, but did you see my story?
Yeah, I haven't even.
So I was, real fast aside, I work out, then I put on my heels to run through my posing routine every day at the gym. And this woman walked in and she looks at me, and I honestly think she just didn't understand what I was doing, but she just put it in a way that was like, jerk. She's like, oh, well, that's a new look for the gym with your heels and everything. And I just went, and I said, well, I've been training for months for a fitness competition and I'm practicing my posing. She goes, oh, that's exciting. And I just wish after the fact I had said instead, oh, gosh, I just got off of work at the Masters and I hadn't had time to change my shoes. But, oh well.
And those who don't live in our area, the Masters is a strip club.
Yes. but I feel like, and you know, a while back, I think we talked about it on the podcast where my branch manager at the mortgage company said to me that I might run into issues as a loan officer being such a powerful woman. And he said, I'm not telling you you should change. I think you just need to be aware that,
yeah,
you will, you're so powerful that you might intimidate people. And I'm like, okay. And I refuse to shrink, though.
But what was your, because I remember this, what was your initial reaction to that?
My initial reaction was, okay, you're right. And then I was kind of like, I was not really offended, but I was kind of like, I can't remember the emotion, but I was kind of like, I felt as if I was being told I needed to soften. And now when I am dealing with people, I've learned to mirror and, you know, soften a bit when I'm talking to people when they need to be talked to a certain way. But I just am what I am, and I'm very good at what I do. And I don't feel like I need to dumb myself down. In fact, I feel lately, especially, that I'm stepping more into my power. And people that are intimidated by me from a physical standpoint or from whatever standpoint, they're just not my ideal client. They're not my tribe. And people who look at the physical nature of a person and judge them in that way without getting to know who they are and what they're about, where they came from and all of that, I'm not interested. If you want to get to know me, great, let's talk. I'll tell you all about it. But I definitely don't, I feel like I'm stepping even more into superhero mode. And think about a superhero. Like you see a superhero walking down the street. They're intimidating. It's because their power is so on.
And let's drill deeper on that, because I've got great insight from what this woman told me last night.
Yeah.
What is it about that power that's intimidating?
Confidence. I think confidence is possibly intimidating to people because they don't have it. They secretly would like to have it. They feel that they aren't able to have it, or they're not worthy of having it, or that it might be too hard to have it, or any various variations on that thought. Because I think that's what it is people go, oh, you're just that, or oh, you're just born that way. Like, oh, da, da, da. And it's not. Everybody that's powerful, whether it's a powerful businesswoman, any powerful businesswoman, like take somebody like Laura Castleman, super powerful, no fucking nonsense whatsoever, this woman. She's intelligent. She is beautiful. She is powerful. And she won't take no shit. Mm-hmm. And she went through a whole lot of eating shit to get there. She's mm-hmm. been through all
no,
the things.
No, and nobody, but no one ever sees that backstory. No,
exactly. So, you know, but she's confident. She's kind. Mm-hmm. She's direct and intimidating. Shoot, I've known her for years and she's still intimidating me when I work for her.
well, here's the big aha that I got out of this last night in this conversation. So, you hit on all the things, right? So it's about insecurity. It's an insecurity. Mm. It's an insecurity bias. Mm-hmm. Right? It's an insecurity bias that's where the intimidation piece comes in. And wait, there's more. So the way that this woman explained it to me was she was so in awe of me. Her insecurity kicks in. Because we were talking about how I walk into a room. There's a certain person who has an issue with, I walk into a room and then all of a sudden people pay attention to me, even though I don't try to do it, but it happens. And we're having that conversation. And she's like, it is true. You walk into a room and like your presence, like everybody wants to like talk to you. Like, and I'm like, why? She's like, there's just something about you. Like you have this like joy and happiness and like you're fun and it grabs everyone's attention and we all want you to like us. That's the mic drop. She's like, oh my gosh, I could never measure up to her. And so she won't like me.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that like, that's the first time I've ever heard something like that. And it was such a epiphany and so interesting to me that it's deeper than the insecurity or the lack of confidence. It's this need to be, and again, this is like, this all like came to me as I was like rereading objections today, the whole concept of rejection. You know, objections are not rejections. But we are wired in our DNA for fear of rejection, because this goes back to caveman days where being included was literally life or death. And so when the tribe doesn't include you, you have a chance of being eaten by a dinosaur.
I love going back to caveman days. It's so good. It's true.
but it's
actual like instinctual.
Right. Right. So this survival. Inclusion thing is super important because we're wired to want to be included, to be liked, to be accepted, and that desire is even bigger when we see people we admire. And even like our fear of rejection by those that we admire. And I think of that, my story with that is I remember having the conversation with Jeb of when he first said to me, do you want to design some improv for our clients? And I was like, yes. And then he's like, can I see some of your work? I was like, no. Like, my inside voice was no. My outside voice was like, uh-huh. Because I was so fearful of rejection that he would look at my work and not find it worthy because he's Jeb Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, that's the psychology behind it. I want him to love me. Oh, but I can't measure up to who he is.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting because it happens even like last night I was doing a posing session with my coaches for my competition. And like, I'm paying them to give me feedback and to train me and coach me. And yet I felt myself being so nervous of like, oh, I hope they think I'm okay. And do they like me? Like that whole thing that they're the ones I should feel the most vulnerable and open to, that they're going to tell me the truth. But yet that instinct was so much like, oh, I just want them to love me.
Because we want to please them.
Yeah.
We want to please the people that we admire and that we want to be like. We want to please and impress them.
So I, on the same note, and for us powerful personalities, I've listened to since probably 2012, I followed Darren Hardy. He's got a really great podcast and daily email that you can get on called Darren Daily. I just love it. I watch it every day. And one that he had, I think on Monday this week, it talked about being a leader and being, and the best way, like our responsibility as a leader or as a person that is admired is to help to show people that they are capable of it too. Like to show them they are worthy of being their best selves. And it, like, I mean, for me, if anybody ever asks me questions at the gym, I'm happy to help them with stuff. Like, I eat that stuff up. Now, do I take too much time for it? No, but if somebody was to ask me a question, you know, I'm happy to help. And people hitting me up on social media right now in response to my photos, I'm happy to help to a certain extent until it becomes coaching. But like, I'm going to help you be your best. I do. I've been down the long rocky road that you're on the other side of right now, and I know how to make it through it, and I know a lot of the pitfalls. And I think that, I guess it's just a matter of, I don't know, how do you help people through that? I guess they have to help themselves.
Well, I kind of asked this question, right? I don't know if I asked it so much as she kind of shared. Right. Like, I intimidate her, but she admires me and she wants to be liked by me and she wants to be more like me. And she said the difference with me compared to there, you know, there's some other powerful people who are narcissists and assholes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have that. She said the difference with me is that within a couple seconds or minutes, she feels so comfortable with me because I make her feel comfortable. So I think this is a good learning for anybody who has heard. I mean, a lot of powerful women and men hear that they're intimidating. And if they internalize it, which I think women are going to internalize it way more than men. Men are like, that's right. That's right. You be intimidated. But for women who hear that and, you know, deep down inside, we are women who cry in the bathroom or on the kitchen floor. And, you know, we're not superhuman. How do we combat that? Realize that if we just make sure that we're keeping it in the back of our mind to make other people feel comfortable knowing that they are intimidated. So, you know, going out of your way to show interest, to offer advice, to make them feel welcome, to, you know, I'm queen of this. We talked about this too last night. Like, you know, I will share my best moments on Facebook and my worst moments. And her opinion on that too was like, I just love that I see your struggles. And then I see how you bounce back, because I've never seen a woman who bounces back from so much shit and then is laughing about things. So vulnerability and being authentic and being real gives people a sense of, oh, I can fuck shit up too and still have a chance to be what she is. And I feel even weird saying that, because I don't even feel like I'm all that in a bag of chips, but it's about perception that other people have of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pay attention to perception and try to leverage the positive side of that perception and then work on the negative perception parts. But realize that having that power of, lack of a better word, intimidation, you know, what I said to her last night is, part of my purpose in life is to show other women that they can do anything, no matter what adversity that they're facing, they can do anything. And sometimes that means being like tough as nails and being intimidating, because it goes back to fight or flight or freeze. Like, I'm being intimidating because this is the way I'm surviving. It's also a survival technique.
Hey guys, just a real quick reminder, if you'd like to find social media links to me, Rachel, Gina, and our favorite Warner, Keith, go visit womenyourmotherwarnsyouabout.com, where you can also find some cool free downloads. Now back to the show.
Yeah. And you know, as intimidating as I sometimes come off, I had some feedback from a realtor not that long ago. And it was really great feedback, and I was so appreciative that he gave it to me. He said, your voice on the phone isn't strong enough sometimes. Sometimes you come off as apologetic. Like in mortgage, there's a lot of good news and sometimes difficult news to deliver to people. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Because I would deliver difficult news like, I'm sorry that this and that and this, and this is what happening. And he's like, you just have to like lay it out. And it was a great conversation that I didn't expect to happen from this guy, this realtor that I don't know super well, but I was super appreciative that he was like, oh yeah, you just need to be stronger about that part of it. So even a strong person like me sometimes can get feedback to be stronger. So at the other side, I noticed something interesting at the gym this morning. So there's a group of women that come in, and they usually come in when I'm starting phase two, my cardio phase of my workout. And they, I guess it's an organized class, and they all work out together. And for the first few weeks that I was at the gym, there was kind of like that, you know, where there's somebody that you would like to talk to and you just don't look at them and you kind of walk by, right? And so they were kind of like not looking at me and shuffling by. And then one day a couple of them came up to me and they just started a conversation, and they were like, how long do you work out and what's your deal? And I was like, well, I work out for a long time and I'm actually training for this competition. So that's why you see me with such intensity. And they're like, oh, and then they asked me a few more questions and I answered everything. And now when they all come in, that we all wave, they're like, hey, and the women all do that with one another. And then there's another girl that, I see her every morning at the gym. We never talk. And then finally, once I was there in the bathroom with her, and every day that I see her, she has the most beautiful hair. It's like long and thick. And she wears it down when she comes in and when she leaves. And I just look at her hair and I'm like, so beautiful. So when I was in the bathroom with her, I was like, you know, I just have to tell you, your hair is so beautiful. It is so, I covet your hair every day when I see you. And she was like, oh, you know, and it was really, it lit her up. But I mean, I wasn't saying it to her for any other reason than it's fucking true. Her hair is epic, like Rapunzel hair. And now it's like a thing where everybody's like, hey, and guys aren't like that at the gym. But then again, I don't want them to talk to me at the gym. But the women are all like, hey, once we break through that barrier of, maybe it's the she doesn't want to be disturbed vibe, or the she's so intimidating vibe, or whatever. But it's interesting. It's so fast once you break through that everybody's mm-hmm. like, cool. And then you're buddies.
And I think that's a really good technique too, especially as women, especially if you're a beautiful woman, intimidating, makes you intimidating. You know, I hear a variety of things about me that make me intimidating. We all have these different things that make us intimidating. And now I'm seeing it through the new lens of sometimes it's because people want to be more like me and that's it. But if I can get to making them comfortable even faster, and I love that kind of, like, I do it all the time. I see like something about a woman's like clothing, or, you know, I'll even comment on your stuff that you post. I've been too busy, but I do look at it. I was like, damn, she looks good. And that's all, like, that's like the only thing. I was just like, girl, you looking hot. Like, I'm about to switch teams for you. When you share that, especially if you're a woman of power or position, or people that, you know, people covet what you have, and then you say to them something spectacular about them, that trust factor kicks in immediately, because they now feel like, oh, that cool girl likes me. That makes me a cool girl.
Mm-hmm. And a compliment is the fastest way to get there. There's another girl never, I always want to talk to her. She's like, not necessarily, we're not competing, but like, she is sometimes there earlier than me, and she's like super disciplined and does a lot of CrossFit type of stuff. And she is just such a well-rounded athlete and so intense. And I want to talk to her too, but she intimidates me. Like, I hadn't been able to talk to her yet, 'cause I'm like, whoa. but that's the way through, like with the girl with the hair. She's there every day. She's focused. She's trying to move towards something. I'm not sure what her goal is, but, you know, and just to break through to compliment, because it feels so good. It's so simple, like, and it's unexpected. I don't know that girl. Don't know her name either, but I know she's the girl with the hair.
Well, it's the unexpected. I know I keep going back to shamelessly plugging, you know, Objections and Jeb and all those things, but because it's fresh on my mind, because I'm reading this book, that disruption, when you disrupt and you break the pattern of what people expect of you, that will get their attention and change their bias towards you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like my buddy, the cleaning lady too. She, you know, she's the cleaning lady at the gym. She always feels like she's in somebody's way. But I always talk to her and I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, she's my buddy. And then like one day she didn't come in and I was legit worried. I was like, I hope she's okay. I was thinking about her. I was like doing my thing. And then later I saw her and I'm like, I'm so glad you showed up. I was a little worried about you today. And she's like, really? I said, yeah, you're always here. And then I was just worried if you're okay. And then I could tell that she really appreciated that I said that. And then she explained she was trying to like avoid the football team that's there at that time of the morning. But to vacuum around those guys.
But see, that's another great tool, right? Like, so we talk about complimenting, but the tool of, you know, where were you? I missed you. Is another way to, you know, people go, oh my gosh, she was thinking about me. That right there, right? Like anytime someone, even if someone says, I was just thinking about you.
Yeah.
You were? What were you thinking?
Yeah. It's actually a really good sales technique to use that I utilize sometimes when I'm prospecting. Is it literally, if someone does cross my mind, I just immediately reach out to them hey, you just crossed my mind. I was wondering how X was doing. Like, how are you doing right now? For realtors in our area, they are all like bananas crazy busy. So I just be like, hey, you just crossed my mind. I was just wondering how things are going for you. And then let them tell you. And then, you know, can I help you with anything today? Is there anything, any problem you need solved? Any borrower you need me to talk to? Da, da, da. Like, but I try to be genuine about it. You can, you know, purposefully go through your quote Rolodex and do that with people, but you can also do it authentically. If I think of somebody that I really like working with, it's just another touch point of like, hey, I saw something so-and-so and I was thinking about you and how's it going?
Yeah.
That makes like today's world is so fast paced. And yeah. Because of social media, I think people sometimes feel like the world knows what's going on in their life because they posted some stuff on social media. And sometimes it's a little surprising for the people that know things about my life for me posting to social media. But the human connection of reaching out and making someone feel special, even if it's just like Gina said, saying I was thinking about you, means a lot more than we think in today's world.
And from a sales perspective, if you want to look at this as a prospecting technique, you said about making sure it was authentic. You can make it authentic if you pull out your prospect list and you start going through it and you see someone's name. Now you're authentically now thinking about them, right? Like, right? Like I just went through the list and I was like, I mean, I do that. I'll go through a list and I'll be like, I have not talked to that person in forever. I want to find out what's going on with XYZ with that person. And so they're going to hear it in my voice that it's authentic because something crossed my mind that I want to ask them about. I was thinking about that yesterday. I had coffee with someone yesterday who is once again helping me out with a situation. And I realized this woman helps me. She literally helps me so much. She has for several years in different things. And, you know, once again, she's like, you know, I saw something was going on with your mom, but I wasn't really sure what it was. And I didn't want to bother you about it. And she did Facebook message me like, I'm not sure what's going on, but just know that you can call me anytime. And she and I had a really great conversation about this that, again, is women. And you and I have talked about this, and that's kind of what created this podcast. As women, we forget that we have a tribe out there because we're trying to fix everything and solve everything by ourselves. And we forget that there's like I try to do a regular inventory. I'm like, I have so many amazing women in my life that I can call upon and I just forget to do it. And we got to remember that it's okay to pick up because that was one of her things. Cause I'm actually doing some coaching for her right now in exchange for something she's doing for me. And she's really struggling with some aspects of her job. And I was giving her advice. I'm like, call your boss, not with the complaints of like your struggles with your employees, but you know, tell him that these are the things going on and here are some ways I want to deal with them. And I just wanted to run them by you for your opinion. I'm like, A, it shows that you're coming with a solution. B, it's going to stroke his ego. You know, and because she's like, I feel like a loser that I'm asked that I have to like ask for help when I should be able to do this job so perfectly like every other person in my position. And I'm like, well, guess what? The people that do the job really well have way more experience than you, and they were once you.
Newsflash, I would guarantee they're not perfect either.
And perfect then there's that.
There's, perfect.
Yeah.
Ah, perfection. Such a fleeting concept.
And the pursuit of perfection can paralyze you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
and cause you to procrastinate.
Yeah. And in my scenario right now, and I've got a really great mindset coach who's been helping me to balance the fact that I am so type A, I'm so competitive, I'm going into my very, very first bikini competition with the mindset that I'm going to win everything and I'm going to walk out of there Miss number one of everything. And I'll totally be fine if that doesn't work out that way. Like, I'm not going to cry or be upset if I place last. Like, I don't care. I don't care if I do, because I know when I get there, I'm a winner already. And it's not going to change the fact that I'm still going in there with the mindset of I am going to take the crown. I mean, and that's kind of two different things of like, if I don't win, all this work has been for nothing. Like, it's not that way, because, and it's kind of the past of being a dancer for so long. There's never a perfect, there's never a true zenith of progress. It's always, you get to a point, and in that moment, things might be perfect, might not. And then as soon as that moment is gone, then what's next? And so I, and that's for any, especially like ballet dancers, like they could perform what to the audience seems like a perfect ballet. And I promise you, you ask them afterwards, they'll be like, oh God, I wish I could have done this better. I could have done this better. This didn't go well. Like, there's always something. And the pursuit of progress is the real pleasurable pursuit. The pursuit for perfection is just leading you down a dark hallway to disappointment.
Ooh, but that's a quotable.
There you go. But the road to progress, it's like an endless road that is super bright if you allow it to be. And like, that's where I am right now with this, is like, I'm having so much fun with it. I love how I feel. I love the people I'm meeting. I love the things I'm learning. And there's so far that I could go with it if I so choose. And what will I do? I don't know. I just don't really know.
Well, and that's also the fun of it. That's the adventure too, of like what's going to come out on the other side of anything that you're pursuing, if you pursue it with the mindset. And going back to your mindset comment about, you know, I'm going into this being number, you know, winning everything. There are studies and stats about visualization. And when you visualize what it is you want, I was kind of chuckling about this this is an EOS, for anybody who's not familiar with EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operational System by Gino Wickman. I can't remember what it's called now, but it's basically like this longer plan, how you look at your longer plan. And on my longer plan, my 5-year plan, which would bring me to like, I think it would be 2023, was to have an in-home production studio.
Early.
Right? So that was written down 2 years ago.
Yep. God, I love that stuff. And, you know, my mental, it's actually the Mental Management Systems is what their company is called, I believe. That is my mindset coach. And it's, there's such a good book. If you go to their website, you can get this book. It's called With Winning in Mind. Super quick read. So good. Now, it's written by a former Olympic sharpshooter. And what he's talking about is how to focus your mind for sharpshooting, but it's applicable in basically all things. And they talk about your directive affirmations, which I have my directive affirmation for my bikini competition. And it's really just to get you in the right mindset. And I say, my directive affirmation is, I am a bikini competition champion. I work out 6 days a week and practice perfect nutrition and practice my posing routine daily. Winning my first bikini competition has positioned me as an influencer in the fitness industry, creating a successful career doing what I love, teaching dance and fitness to high-level performers. Every time I crush a workout, eat a perfectly balanced meal, or drink a glass of water, I track it because that's like me. I visualize perfect execution of my poses every night before I fall asleep, and the entire process has improved my self-image. I am consistent. I'm a superhero. I'm a bikini competition champion. And like I read that in the morning and at night. And it just builds you up. And like, if you look at somebody like Michael Phelps and all the good things, not thinking of any of his stuff that he's gotten into, but like the reason that he won so spectacularly is because he visualized, his coaches would have him visualize every single thing in the race. And he was relentless in how he practiced that. But a lot of it, I've read, was the visualization from start to finish. And that's a big deal of what I do right now, is I visualize, because I don't want to show up at, after months and months and months of work and have a sort of mental freak out because I haven't been preparing my mind. Of like, oh God, those girls look better than me. Oh God, the judges. Oh, there's people. Am I good enough? I don't know. Instead, I read my directive affirmation every day so that I believe that and I present myself in a way that I want to present myself. And at first, it felt inauthentic because I didn't feel it yet. But we're talking months of doing this every day.
Well, and it goes to the fake it or make it,
yeah.
Fake it till you make it thing. And I'm, some people would disagree with that, but it's the fake it part is the, it's kind of the pep talk you're giving yourself.
Yeah. It's positively brainwashing that negative little person that we all have inside of us.
Well, that's another thing. Like, our brains are wired for negativity bias.
Yeah.
We are wired to see the negative and not the positive, because again, it goes back to this whole
run brain, from the dinosaur.
Yeah, it goes back to this whole brain thing and the amygdala and how it controls all that, that it's we just naturally are looking for the negative.
Yeah. Same. Darren Hardy had a episode just about that same thing yesterday, talking about when we were back in the caveman days, like, instead of looking at the beautiful savanna surrounding us and appreciating this untouched glory, we'd be looking to see if there was anything dangerous.
Yeah.
For survival.
Well, yeah, that's like the number one job of our brain, is to protect us from danger. That's what's happening.
And it's freaking powerful.
It's so powerful. That's why mindsets, working on your mindset, is so important. So, wasn't this a fun topic to talk about?
Yes, I'm glad you can
not
run away again.
Your brain was in fight or flight at the beginning of
this.
It is,
and I'm a super introvert at heart. I love to be by myself and just do my own thing. And this pandemic has made me even more. Like, I sort of purposefully, a little while back when I started this fitness journey, kind of put myself in my cave to go full cyborg on this whole deal. But I don't do a lot of social activity right now. I mean, I post on social media, but I have a small circle right now, but it's on purpose because I want to be very focused. And then the end goal is like to bust out when I have like my fancy dancy photos at the show, you know, and then out I come again. But because you kind of have to go, if you really, really, like you're doing right now, Gina, you kind of have to go behind closed doors and put your head down and grind away, because you're in this new scenario of having to drink from the waterfall or drink from the fire hose of knowledge to learn everything you have to learn. And you can't get too scattered with squirrels.
Again, our brain can't handle that.
Yeah.
The brain cannot handle it. And so it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to squirrel away, because you overload your brain. It's a cognitive overload that like literally will shut you down if you allow that to happen to yourself. So you have to do those things. Like, you're going through it. I'm really going through it right now. I don't want people to feel like I don't love them and I'm not including them, but I am really focused. Like, just now, like, if you're watching the video, like, my trainer who couldn't train this morning, you know, is like messaging me like, all right, 7 p.m. Like I said to him, I'm like, I can do 7 p.m. tonight. So he's like, 7 p.m., bring your boxing gloves to the beach. I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh.
But I'm only scheduling things in my life right now that are for the best of my brain and my body. And like that's where the focus is. And it gets hard to say no to hanging out with people, but I can't handle the overload.
Yeah.
To be effective and to be successful. And that's okay.
Yeah, it is. If you're going to achieve greatness, sometimes you have to go a little bit extreme for a little while. I think it's Victor Hugo who had a deadline to write. Might have been The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Don't quote me on this. But he basically like threw all his clothes away. Or he had someone take all of his clothes away and locked himself up in his apartment or his house. And he had no clothes, so he couldn't go anywhere. And he had to stay there until he finished this book.
So he was just naked?
I think he had like a blanket or a shawl. And there was another, there's a famous orator from back in, I think maybe Grecian Roman times. And he had a stutter. I wish I could remember who it was. This is another Darren Daly story, I believe. He had a stutter and he decided he was going to lock himself away and improve his speaking patterns and his reading. So he shaved half of his head so he couldn't go outside until he studied. I'll have to look up who that was.
Right, well, I'm not throwing away my clothes or shaving my head.
No.
I will come up with
those are more extreme
else.
Ways.
Yeah.
But you may have to, let's say, let go of Netflix at night or TV in general. Or
well, you know what? I have.
The happy hour.
I have not. I can't remember the last time I watched TV.
Yep. Welcome to, you are like me now.
Yeah, I have not. I mean, there are nights where I'll just sit here on the couch and just do nothing.
Be quiet.
Because I just need quiet and my brain needs to settle. I've skipped happy hours. I did take someone up on a home cooked dinner last night because, yeah.
Yep.
Not going to say no.
You got to eat.
Not going to say no to that. Someone wants to cook. That's fine.
Yeah. It's just about picking your battles. If you're rolling along and enjoying your life, great. Keep at it. If you want to achieve a certain level of greatness in a certain aspect of your life, you're just going to have to give up other things.
Yeah. And to put a pretty bow on it, this topic in this episode, as we wrap up, realize that if you are intimidated by certain people like Rachel or me, we're not judging you if you're not being in this mindset where we are right now of like this pursuit of what we're trying to pursue in our lives and our businesses. That's who we are, and we're not dissing you if we're not hanging out with you, but we're also not judging you, because to pursue something big or you know bigger requires a lot of focus, intention, discipline, and we might come off as aloof, but we can't have as much distraction. But if you want to be that, we hope we inspire you. But it's okay if you don't do that.
Yeah. And we're always around. Like, hit us up on social media. Send us an email through the website. If you have questions about what we're doing or something that you're trying to achieve and maybe you need help with first steps, like we're totally, I'm totally happy to answer people.
Oh, yeah.
And as quickly as I possibly can get to it, you know?
And I love to help any woman who raises her hand and says, hey, can you give me advice on how to do this? Or can you help me with this? I'm like, both Rachel and I are all about that. What we're not all about is you crying and making excuses for why you can't do it. It's okay to cry because we do cry a lot, but pick yourself off the fucking floor.
There's a difference between crying and whining. Crying is a release, and it's a necessary one.
Yes.
Whining is a shield that you're using to try to protect yourself so you can continue to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's also a blame game, and it doesn't work.
No.
So no whining. Crying accepted. We'll hug you. Whining, eh. You can spot it real quick. You know.
Yeah. Put your big girl panties on, but it is time for us to wrap up this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. We hope that you got something out of this. And if you did, share it. Share it with another woman or even a man. That is a huge compliment to us. To find out more about the show and us, you can go to womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. For me, GinaTremarco.com, which that website is in the process of being updated with all the new things.
Mm-hmm. And you can find me information about mortgage at thesinginglender.com or information about my fitness aspects of life at ultrafitlifestyle.com. And please, if you've got a moment and you enjoyed this episode, run over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review so we can spread the love to more people.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and how do I keep forgetting this? I forget when this episode hits, but when it does hit, I think it's right before one of my upcoming trainings at Sales Gravy University. So it's either Fanatical Prospecting or Virtual Selling. It's a boot camp. They're both boot camps. They're like 8 sessions over 4 weeks. So go check out salesgravy.com to find out more about my upcoming workshops. And there's probably more because Jeb loads up my schedule. So who knows what
I'll
be there.
And you can pick up his objections book at that same website, salesgravy.com.
Sweet. All right. Well, we got to go, Warners. It's been great. Ms. Rachel, I'm happy that you're smiling at the end of this. And now we can both go back to, right on the dot, I'm up against deadline for the next phone call. So
nice.
Bye, Rachel. Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey.